have the clouds round you gathered in the midst of the storm? Is your ship tossed and battered? Are you weary and worn? Don't lose hope, someone's praying for you this very day. And peace be still, is already on the way. Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. So when it seems you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember someone is praying for you. When it seems that you've prayed till your strength is all gone and your tears fall like raindrops all the day long, Jesus cares and he knows just how much you can bear. He'll speak your name to someone in prayer. Someone is praying for you. Remember, someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. So when it seems you're all alone and your heart to remember, someone is praying for you. Remember, someone is praying for you.
Well, first of all, I need three mics, gentlemen. If you could bring two more mics, I should say, down here, because we're going to have our staff guys need to sing again. They sang this morning, did a great job, and they were asking if they could sing again tonight, and they're shaking their head no, but did a great job. I want to have them sing. But also, we have a birthday today. We don't always do this, but there's a special birthday today, and she wanted me to sing. No, I asked her if I could. She said she didn't care, but Addison's 13th birthday today. That's a big milestone, and so we need to sing happy birthday to Miss Addison tonight. And do you want to come up here? Stay down there. Her friends all say to come up here. Yeah, good friends you are. Let's sing happy birthday to Addison tonight. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Addison. Happy birthday to you. All right, good job. You can come on up here, Brother Josh, and guys are going to come and sing for us. I think they have the music. If not, then they'll sing something else, but that'd be good.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope
soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control.
He saved me,
and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is
Jesus. My hope is Jesus.
When darkness veils my Savior's face, I rest on his unchanging grace. When faith is weak and doubt is strong,
I still lift up salvation song. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control.
He saved me,
and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is
Jesus. My hope is Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne.
My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control.
He saved me,
and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is Jesus.
He saved me, and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is
Jesus. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have a hope in this life? Amen. That hope is Jesus. Amen. That was a little bit weak. That hope is Jesus, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You saved tonight? The question is, are you awake tonight? Anyone get a nap today? Any naps today? That was a lot of naps. I feel left out big time. So if you didn't get the nap earlier, you don't get to get it during church, just so you know. Or God will not let you sleep all night. I think that's the way that that goes. And so thank you for a good day. Proverbs 18 and verse number 24 is our text tonight. If you take your Bibles and find that and stand to your feet, Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, we'll look at one verse tonight, and want to give you a challenge and a truth for tonight. I hope will be a help to you. Proverbs chapter 18, and it is friend day, friend Sunday, so we got to keep on the friend theme with that, and I want to give you a challenge here. Proverbs 18:24. I'll read it first, and then would you follow along and read it with me the second time. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ready? Would you read it with me and begin? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the night, for the service. Thank you for salvation, for a church family, the Word of God. And Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. The Lord had put on my heart last year about doing a friend day, and I thought, well, it kind of came quick, and I let's do it the next year. And we did a friend day growing up in our church, and that was the biggest day of the year, and it was a lot of crazy. I don't remember all that we did, and had a great time with that. It was a big outreach and all kinds of carnival kind of stuff, I'm sure. Don't know exactly. I was so encouraged to see so many people that had been inviting, that had been praying, and brought a friend with you this morning. It was so exciting to look around the auditorium. I know that I don't say that to make you feel bad if your friend or the person you invited didn't come, because I didn't think that anyone that I invited came until after the service. And there was a man and his family in the foyer that said, I invited him. I don't remember inviting him, but he does a service at our house, and I'd given him an invitation. I don't think it was for friend day. I don't know how he heard, but he came, and I thought, praise the Lord, we had a visitor here today. And that was exciting to see. But I was so encouraged to see that. On a big day, I should probably have more faith. I really should. But I'm like, is anyone going to come? Is it going to be like a low day? And it was a bust. Do we need to set up chairs like all through the foyer? I don't know which one, Lord. You know, you set up too many chairs and then it's empty. You know, you don't set up enough and you want to set up more, right? That's the way you want to do that. Be looking for seats, you know. And so that was so encouraging. I was so excited to see that. People that were praying, inviting, bringing your friends, coworkers. The lady said she got an invitation in the mail. I don't know who mailed them out. I have no idea still. And I asked her twice. She got one in the mail. That praise the Lord. One of our bus families, their daughter's friend invited her friend to come. And mom said, she said, well, I want to come too. And the kids tried talking him into riding on the buses. And she decided to drive in and not go on the bus. I said, I think you made the best choice. Not against the bus, but the bus is a lot more fun for the crazy kids, not as much for the parents. But I tried to get around, and I was trying to get to every person I could find and get to greet them and get to talk to them for a moment. But thank you for bringing visitors. That was exciting to see. I have no idea how many were here, but that was encouraging. And so many people working as well. A lot of setup, cleanup, cooking. And Brother Jake's not here tonight, but always does an incredible job. Doing the grilling, and Brenton was helping him, and we had a couple of men. I don't know if they wanted to help or sample, but they helped as well, and Brother Barker and Brother Tristan helped with that, and that was great, and a great meal and fellowship, and trying to get around and talk to everyone and greet people and thank them for coming, and all that was just a great time. I texted our workers. We didn't take our soul-winning attendance report tonight because I wanted to give the report tonight. I was just quietly praying for 300, that God would bless us with 300 people today. We've had services of more than that, but we had 306 people in church this morning, and so that was exciting to see. We had six people raise their hand for salvation in the auditorium, and then three raised their hand and said they did trust Christ, and so the Lord knows that. But that's pretty neat to see on a big day. You know, people may not be as inclined to come forward. Might be the one chance they'll be here, and so gave them a chance in the seats to be saved. Two were saved in the Slattery's class, and so we had five saved today. And I think we had some more. We probably should ask. Does anyone have anyone saved any other times this week or as you were going? Samuel got to lead one person to the Lord. Miss Smith got to lead someone to the Lord. Four, amen. And Joel got to lead four to the Lord yesterday. And how many? Who's got a calculator? That's awesome. What a blessing. You know, when you do the Lord's work, God blesses. Isn't that great? What an what a blessing. I didn't know about all the others that got saved. I knew of a few, but man, how many people are in heaven tonight because you cared about the souls of others? What a blessing that is. And we had a couple people, they saw the sign out front or got a flyer or whatever it may be. And so I was just very encouraged and blessed. And so thank you, church, for just getting behind a big day that God used. That's not any glory of our own, not to pat ourselves on our backs and say how good of a job we did, but everything looked nice, was prepared, and it was encouraging to see people inviting people in. And that was a blessing. I was praying most of all, not for a number of people to come, souls saved, but I was praying most of all for our church to capture the heartbeat of reaching someone for Christ. Everyone reach someone. Each one reach one. That God has put someone in your path to bring to church. I asked him a couple weeks ago if I could give his testimony about someone he got to lead to the Lord a couple weeks ago, and he didn't text back before that message. So I'm still good on that, I think. But there's a friend, he'd been praying and asking us, would you pray for my friend Chris to be saved? And he asked us and he said, you know, praying for wisdom and to get to be a witness. And he got saved 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And he'd come to church once before, I think, for Christmas Eve service or the Christmas musical service. He came again this morning as well. There's a young man that's come. I went to high school with him, actually. He was younger than I was, but went to school with him. He had come before, but he came today, halfway through the service. It's distracting when you're preaching, when other thoughts go through your mind and you're supposed to be preaching. People go through the foyer, people are leaving here, and whatever happens. And I caught him over here this morning and got to talk to him. But just a blessing to get to be part of the Lord's work, isn't it? I want to talk to you about today the importance of being a friendly church. Why we have a friend day? I know it's kind of retroactive on that, but why it's important to be a friendly church. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I don't believe it's a stretch to say that a church that wants to reach people needs to be a friendly church, right? If you're scowling and mean and rude and growling at people all the time, you're probably going to have a hard time leading someone to the Lord, right? You're probably going to have a hard time bringing that coworker to church or that neighbor to church, but being a friendly church, what that importance of that, what that means. Many churches are not friendly churches. I can't say I've been to a ton of different churches, but many churches are not overly friendly churches. And let me put it this way. We're an independent, fundamental, King James only, soul-winning, separated church. We're a rare breed of a church. If you don't understand, in the world we live in, we're a rare breed of a church. And we have a reputation, and people don't understand what all that means. And so we got to explain some of that at times. We're not a perfect church, but I believe we have a church that's trying to be right and biblical, trying to follow the Lord. I'm thankful for other churches that are not the same exactly as we are, but they preach the gospel. I'm thankful that, you know, for others that preach the gospel. We're not going to do things with them and go to their stuff and all that, but I'm thankful others that preach the gospel. But Shasta Baptist Church is striving to be a Bible-centered foundation on the Word of God, on Jesus Christ, church. But you get a reputation. Oh, the Baptist church, you know. Not just another Baptist church, you know, kind of a deal. And we get a reputation sometimes that we're hateful and judging and all those things and unloving. And that is not true, right? It couldn't be further from the truth. That's a lie from the devil. Or it's a bad testimony from some Christians as well, unfortunately. But we must point people to the Lord, encourage them, and point them to the truth. That's what I'm getting at today. To be a friendly church, our purpose is to point people to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and thank the Lord that, and maybe 20 people trusted in the Lord as their Savior this week alone. That's incredible. I mean, can we get an amen on that? If you can't amen on anything, that's the time. The importance of being a friendly church, and I want to just give you a challenge tonight and try to encourage you and strengthen and help you along the way. Number one, a friendly church is a witnessing church, and we're just going to continue that theme on. A witnessing church is a friendly church, and a friendly church is a witnessing church. Why? Because the church is here to reach others with the gospel, right? We are here for others. We are here to reach others with the gospel. We were talking to a man, and he saw our sign up front. He said, I've seen your sign up front. What's that for, the banner, the poster up there? I said, well, we're trying to invite people to come to church and tell them that we're having a big day, inviting them to come. And people hear about it from different ways. It's always interesting to hear for me. But a church that is not witnessing is a dying church. A church that's not reaching souls with the gospel, it's a dying church. You dwindle away, you have your parties, your fellowships, your worship sessions, whatever people do, and eventually the church dies. There's no growth there, unless if you're growing the church based on fleshly motives and you're trying to reach people with different things. I've heard it before, what you reach people with is what you reach them with is what you reach them to. And if you're trying to reach them with, We do have big days and things, but that's not what we're trying to reach them with. We're pointing them to Jesus Christ. And a church that's not witnessing is a dying church. Shasta Baptist Church, I hope we keep the fire burning in our souls to reach others with the gospel. If we're going to be a friendly church, we must be looking to get the gospel out everywhere that we go, every day, that God puts people in your path to be a witness. A church that's not witnessing is a dying church, but it's also a fighting church. You have no purpose. You have nothing else to do. You just internalize and you fight over the carpet color and the wall color and the fellowship stuff and who got to be on what committee and all that stuff. We don't need that. Our purpose and our focus, our goal is to please the Lord most importantly. And then number two, to reach souls for Christ. That is our purpose, to reach souls for the gospel. That's an eternal work. You say, I've heard that message before. You're going to hear it a whole lot more again as well. We must be a soul-winning church. Everyone. The Great Commission is for every person. Go ye, that's the disciples, Christians, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In today's day, we have no excuse to get the gospel to every creature. No excuse with the internet and the telephones and the printing and all the avenues we have. We have no reason to not get the gospel to every creature. That's our purpose, our goal, our mission. A friendly church is a witnessing church. Our purpose and mission is to reach souls with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? We have good news. You don't have to be ashamed giving the gospel. It's good news. Amen? It's good news. I've got something good to tell you. Too many people have bad news today, don't they? Bad news, discouraging, depressing. That's what most of the news is. Tell them, I've got good news for you. And point them to Jesus Christ. Our soul-winning ministries should be growing ministries. Our soul-winning ministries should be growing ministries. That's the heartbeat of our church. The heartbeat of our church is our soul-winning times where we gather together and we pray and we plan and we go and proclaim the truth of the gospel. They should be growing. Amen? We've got to be getting the gospel out with a fervency that the time is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. It's now. If we've not learned this in the last 2 weeks, 3 members of our church went to heaven. That's an empty spot here. People that have invested in others. I could give many stories about getting to spend time with them for different reasons, but Brother Bill Peck went to heaven. Miss Alice, if you're watching, we're praying for you. I was talking with her yesterday, but I went to go visit him last week, and I gave him some invitations. I didn't go to give him invitations. I brought a few with me, and I gave some to a worker that was there, putting up screens on some windows as we sat in the outdoor courtyard area, and I gave one. He said, hey, can I get some of those? And I said, sure. So I went and parked him by the front, got him some flyers. As I wheeled him back to his room, he took a flyer, put it on the little nurse's cart that we walked by, and we kept going. Hey, I want to invite you, and we kept going. The last text he gave me is that I gave out all my Friend Day flyers. That's a blessing. To the last days, he was telling people about Jesus Christ. What a testimony to have. Brother Hankey gave his life and investing in young people and Mrs. Bray and others. What a testimony to leave behind for the next generation. That's an empty spot that we've got to make sure that we step up. And you don't replace people, but we must do our part and reach souls for the gospel. It's the foundation of our church. It's the foundation. We need more soul winners, more people to tell others about Jesus Christ. Today they had the memorial service for Charlie Kirk, and he was one that was very vocal on proclaiming the truth and giving the gospel. I didn't get to watch all of it. We were in church this morning when it was going on, while half of you were probably on your phones in your seats, turning them on, or watching it later. I don't know. But I believe that there's an awakening to spread the truth, to give the gospel, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, not the same direction in every way, shape, and manner, but someone that was bold in their faith to give the gospel to others. I believe that lit a fire in our country. It lit a fire in people that we've got to be bold and proclaim the truth. From what I heard, the gospel was given. We watched about a half of it maybe, but it was so many times, so much about the Lord and about heaven, the truth, and that was encouraging to hear. I thought, you know, did we think this day would come on a day like this? I didn't think so. But I believe that there's an awakening in our country to the truth and about heaven, about eternity, and our faith. We meet more laborers in the field every day. A friendly church is a witnessing church. I spent a lot of time on that. We'll get to the next points. A friendly church is a welcoming church. A welcoming church. When people come, they should be greeted as they come in the front door. And they are. Our greeters do a great job with that. Before I get to them, they've usually been greeted, introduced. They have a visitor card in their hand. Before they get through these doors in the foyer, they should be greeted again. Before they get to their seat, they should be greeted again. We should be welcoming people to church. Every time someone comes to church, whether it's someone you've seen 100 times or the first time, we should be a welcoming church, shouldn't we? Don't take for granted the people you see every week, right? Don't take it for granted. Be welcoming, be greeting, be looking to greet others as they come in. Introduce yourself. Learn their names. I learned so many names today, and I forgot most of them. If you're watching online, I'm sorry. I didn't write them down, and there was way too many names to remember them. I think I remember a couple. But introduce yourself. Learn their names. Point them to their classes. Try to help and encourage them, and be welcoming. Help them find a seat. I'm sitting in the back, and people are coming in, and I'm like, I don't know where they're going to sit. I'm kind of like, you know, over here and over there, and like the front row's open. Don't send them in the front right here. They did it. But be welcoming. Be looking for people. Share a songbook. Share your Bible. Why? It shows I'm glad that you're here. Right? Instead of doing the like, you're like, oh, wow. That was, if looks could kill sometimes, right? Yeah. All right. A friendly church is a welcoming church. We should be welcoming. We had a half a dozen rough characters that came in this morning, you know? I thought, ushers, just check them out real quick, all right? they do. And it was, you know, a little rough. And I thought, you know what? They came in for church and for a meal and praise the Lord. They're just as important as any other person that walks through this door. Just as important as any person that walks through the door. Be welcoming. Share your songbook. Share a Bible. People that come in, they're new. They don't know how to use a songbook. What a 1, 2, 3, and 4. Why are we jumping back and forth? It doesn't make sense if you've not been in church. I mentioned on Saturday we had a man we talked to on Tuesday night, Brother Seth and I, and he's been here a couple times about business-related stuff. We invite him to come. He's probably in his 30s, and we invited him, and he said, I've never been to church before in my life. In his 30s, he said, maybe when I was 8 years old, and I thought, wow, that's far too often. That's becoming more normal. Be welcoming, be greeting, help people. They don't know why we're standing and sitting and passing an offering plate with money. Where, you know, don't make sure they're not taking it out. They're putting it in, you know. be friendly, but smack their hand and tell them to put it back in if they do that. Don't do that, you know. If you do, just don't tell me. A friendly church is a welcoming church. Number three, a friendly church is a warm church. A warm church is one that cares for others and has a good testimony. People don't come to church because of one bad experience. You know that? One bad experience and they will never come to church again. Well, first of all, don't let one person ruin church for you for the rest of your life. God has never failed. God's word has never failed. But I never want to be that person. I never want to be the person that said, they just walked by me, they're rude. I walked by some people this morning, and I had to go talk to someone. I said, I'll be right back. And it took me an hour, but I got back to them. And I'm honestly, it was like before and after, I said, I'm sorry, I said I will come back. I don't want to be the reason someone doesn't come back to church again and get saved or growing in the Lord. Be warm. Care enough to be kind. Care enough to be kind. Kindness goes a long way. Be kind. Watch what you say. You know, well, I don't know why they do this. The visitors are listening right there. Wait till they leave. No, don't do that. But be kind and be careful what you say. Keep a good testimony. A good name is rather to be what? Chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Your testimony around town matters. In your neighborhood, it matters. And when they come to your class, it matters. Be warm. Be praying. Be praying. A warm church, a church that's friendly is praying for others. right? When you're praying for others, you're anticipating what God's going to do. You prayed for what was coming in, and you're praying that person in. Every person that came in was prayed for by name, or maybe not by name, but God knew. And be praying for others. That's a friendly church. When you're praying for others, praying for others is not about me. It's about you, right? You're praying for others. Be encouraging to others. Talk with people. Check on people. Be a warm church. A friendly church is a watching church. They're paying attention. You're making sure things are straightened up, and you're looking around. How can I help? How can I serve? What can I do? You're watching. You're looking. You're paying attention. Who's here and who's not here? It's easy to miss an empty seat. You know what I mean? Easy to miss an empty seat. You know, no one's there now. Well, who was there? Who was sitting next to you last week? You got to be watching. You got to be paying attention. We're so much of this world today. I left my phone over here, but so much of the world today is just staring at a screen, walking across the street, coming out of the bathroom. You know, I'm like, please watch. You're going to get run over. I promise. But just like pay attention to people, right? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We got to be a friendly church. Be watching. You see a piece of trash, pick it up. The chair's out of place, straighten it. You say it wasn't my trash or my seat, it doesn't matter. But be watching and be helping, be looking. Lastly today, a friendly church is a working church. A working church is busy laboring for the Lord. A friendly church is, we're too busy to fight, we're working for the Lord. Right? We're doing God's business. I don't have time to squabble and fight and argue and all. We're doing the Lord's work, aren't we? It's the greatest work. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. A working church understands that there's work to be done. Now, there's work with witnessing, ministry, and all. That's labor. By the end of Sunday, I'm tired. And I'm pretty much done. Why? Because there's a lot of labor that goes into just being in church. A lot of people, I get it. Sunday, it might be your one day off for the week. I know that's a lot for you. You work 6 days and you come to church on Sunday and you have really no days of rest. And thank you for your faithfulness. And you come and labor and work in ministries and come here and go to work. That is a blessing, isn't it? I hope you thank your teachers that teach your children, right? The ones that are caring for the buildings and the property and doing the labor that needs just to have a ministry, just to have a clean building and things that are set up and cleaned up. But there's much work to be done. Aside from even ministries and buses and all that, there's work that needs to be done every single day. There's work to be done for the Lord. There's classrooms that need to be painted. We told you we were going to paint them, and we didn't. We lied to you. No, we need laborers. We're trying to keep it going. We need laborers in the ministry to do the work of the Lord. That's a friendly church. Why? Because I'm here to serve. This isn't just a church classroom. This is my classroom, right? This is my ministry. I need to do something to invest in the work of the Lord. We have class that needs to be painted, a field that needs to be mowed, landscaping project that we need to begin like right away. I want to encourage you to get a burden about getting this project going. I want to encourage you. We need to get some work done around here and get busy doing something for the Lord and labor. I want to encourage you to get a burden for this project. You think, what's the big deal? It matters. The Lord's work matters. It's going to cost money. I know it is. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some physical labor. We're going to come back to you here in a bit with some things that we can do to get started on the projects and maybe some things that we can do to help cut some costs. But it's going to take some finances to get going. And church, I just want to be honest. We need to get going on it. We need to give. It's going to take some sacrifice to do some labor for the Lord. I don't know if you notice this, but we have Bible assembly project with Bearing Precious Seed in just a couple weeks. We got teen revival coming up in November. It's going to get busy, and it's going to stay busy, and we need laborers for the work of the Lord. It's for the Lord. A working church is a friendly church. We're here laboring together for God's work. It's not about me, and it's not about you, and personalities, and different things. It's about we're getting together to do God's work. We need to keep that as our focus, church. It's the Lord's work that we get to be a part of. Let's be a friendly church. I believe with all my heart, Shasta Baptist Church is the friendliest church. People are being greeted and brought in and helped and served and cleaning up. And we had a host of laborers today. And it was just, it's an encouraging sight to see. I hope you're not doing that for me or another person, but for the Lord. And God will reward you for the labors. And it's for others as well. It's for God, first of all. Right? Every labor you do, is it for you or is it for God? Pray that every chair that's set up and every class that's run and every bus route, we're doing it for the Lord's work. It's for God, but then it's for others as well. The work continues, right? The work goes on. You think, well, we're done. We're gonna just take it easy next week. Oh, no. No, we got to get busy. You brought a friend, you brought someone this week. I hope you're praying they come next week. Right? I hope you're praying they come next week. You encourage them. Next Sunday, would you come and sit in my seat? There's a lady that came. I don't want to embarrass her, but I was meeting a visitor last week, and as I went to greet her, someone came and sat down in front of them and greeted them and not interrupted in a rude way, but kind of just like, hey, and introduced herself and said, hey, you need to come to our Sunday school class next week. I was like, praise the Lord for that. Looking for others, being friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Let's be serving for the Lord, first of all. And then number two, let's be serving others. Let's be looking for others. Let's reach souls for Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that God was pleased this week. I believe that God was pleased, not to pat ourselves on the back in any way, but souls that were saved, people that heard the gospel, people that came back to church or just came for the first time to church this week. That's a blessing, isn't it? I hope you were encouraged, and I hope it challenges you not to say, I get to take the next year off or the next 6 months off, but encouraging you to continue on reaching people for the Lord. Head bowed, eyes closed. Let's pray as we get to the invitation time tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Shasta Baptist Church. And it truly is, I believe,